Hi, this is Lourdes Portillo, and this is Show Me Your Titles.
Hi, you're listening to Show Me Your Titles. I'm Kathy Dela Cruz in San Diego.
And I'm Erin Donovan in San Francisco. Today in our Summer Spotlight series, we will be reviewing Agnès Varda's film, Vagabond.
Tu vas l'emmener à l'école quand même?
On verra bien plus tard.
Son papa qui l'a couché. Il apprendra à lire, à écrire.
Il a une maîtrise de philo.
T'as une maîtrise de philo? Qu'est-ce que tu fais là, alors?
Retour à la terre.
Moi, c'est ce que je voudrais aussi. Avoir un petit bout de terre à moi. Cultiver des patates.
Patates. Kathy, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Vagabond, whose original French title I will try and pronounce, sans toi ni loi, which means without roof or law, which I guess is really a French way of saying vagabond and not just our, you know, completely American definition of vagabond, is the 1985 Agnès Varda classic that begins with winter in the south of France. A young woman is found frozen in a ditch. She's ill-kempt, a vagabond. Through flashbacks and brief interviews, we trace her final weeks as she camps alone or falls in with various men and women, many of whom project their needs onto her or try to give her life direction. Erin, I mean, this is a beautiful film. I believe this is one of your favorite films.
Of ever?
Is that true? I thought so. It's not?
I do really enjoy Vagabond. It's true.
Anyway, will you tell me why you wanted us to talk about Vagabond?
Wow. Well, you know, I really love this film because, well, I saw it a few months ago. It came out as part of the recently re-released Criterion box set as a tribute. I think it's called 4 Agnès Varda, like the numeric 4, and it's 4 of her films. And I think the other 3 have all been available before, but this was the first time Vagabond was available. I might be wrong on those details, but it's interesting. Those films were all like from the 40s and 50s, and this film, I believe, was made in the 80s. It's the most recent of her films.
Yeah, it's 85.
From that box set, yeah. And it's, I mean, as far as I know, like the least known Agnès Varda film. And I'm definitely a huge fan of her documentary, The Gleaners and I. It's probably one of my favorite films of all time. I am not typically a fan of narrative films that employ like blatant documentary style or like are really trying to go for a documentary style. But I think this is just such a smart idea, and I've never seen anything like this. And I mean, I love it as just an interesting idea that's executed very well. But I love this character. Her name is Mona, the vagabond girl. I love this idea that like, she's totally like a character that you would read about in a Kerouac novel, except that like, it's just without all that like romantic bullshit from like the Beats and and Kerouac and people of that ilk. Like, I hate that kind of writing. And so I actually, I got the box set cause I was reviewing it and I was like, oh God, like I put off Vagabond for the longest time because I was just like, this is going to be a fucking dreck. But like, I love this idea of like, clearly Agnès Varda like read all those novels and just reacted to like the same, maybe reacted to the same things I have, the same issues I have with those novels, because like here she is, she's like going around, she's, you know, in this back, she's got this backpack and she's like kind of just going around. She doesn't really have any express interest in like meeting people or like, you know, there's just no romantic notion about like the way that she travels around. And, you know, yeah, like people become engaged with her, but like it's really only, and you know, we see in the opening scene she dies eventually in the storyline, but we see that in the opening scene, so I'm not spoiling this for anyone, but like she really like takes on like such a mythical proportion to these people after she's died, whereas I don't know, as she breezes in and out of their lives, like they're really just quite irritated with her, and it's only once she's died that she becomes like, oh, like, what am I doing with my life? Like, it just becomes this jumping off point for all these people who are sort of have settled in. And they, you know, you see them projecting all this ideology and I'm going to overuse this word romantic notion just over and over throughout this review. But like, you know, she just really isn't any of all those things. And I just, like, this is just a fascinating film to watch. I've watched it several times now and I really like Vagabond. I hope that answers your question.
No, that's great. I think it has been available on its own DVD for a while.
Sweet.
Maybe just not one with commentary, which I think maybe the box set has. I know the DVD I have doesn't really have anything but the film.
Oh, no. The Criterion shoot is really, it's, I mean, it's, they always do a great job. It's lovely.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, I rewatched this film for the first time in ages. I feel like this is one of those things where, it was available when I was much younger, but didn't necessarily, I don't know, would watch things a little more passively. I watched this, you know, again in the last couple of days, and, I kept thinking of, a film that isn't nearly as good, but got so much more, I feel like, critical success or box office success, and that would be Into the Wild. I mean, this is seriously,
I recall you liked,
like,
when you reviewed for the show.
Yeah, which, I mean, because I guess I hadn't seen Vagabond in a long time, but I mean, I think there are still moments I like of Into the Wild, but it's so funny. I mean, how much Into the Wild is pretty much like this, like, boy version of Vagabond, except it's so annoying in comparison to Vagabond. And what I think is, I wonder if the filmmaker Sean Penn, I wonder if he saw Vagabond. I think that maybe he didn't and thinks that he just made something original, because it's pretty much, I don't know, Into the Wild could have definitely taken a cue from Vagabond. But I couldn't help thinking about how so similar to everything you've said about Vagabond, except in terms of what goes on in the film is really similar to the structure of Into the Wild. But with Into the Wild, it's like even the filmmaker romanticizes, you know, the character that they're making a film about. Whereas here, Agnes Varda, you know, the filmmaker makes herself part of the film's structure by having the film read as kind of a, you know, faux documentary, with her voice as, like, you know, narrating the film. That's like kind of like, you know, the fake film that is the structure of the actual film. She never does that, but I feel like, you know, that's all over Into the Wild, which is what makes it a less strong picture. And I also think
Into the Wild too, like, he's all about, like, his, like, back to the earth ideas and ideology. Like, it's all ideology in movies like Into the Wild. And, like, that's just what makes my skin crawl. I never saw Into the Wild, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, and so that's what's completely opposite here. And, you know, there it's like we see him, you know, he's this guy that's, like, going to travel the earth. He's obviously, you know, smart and trying to reach this point of enlightenment. But here she's this woman trying to just kind of roam, keep moving, and everyone just sees her as crazy and putting her life in danger. And I feel like it's just, it's a lot different from Into the Wild, and I like it a lot more, but... You know, I think they'd be really interesting to put them up together and talk about them both. But it also made me think of, you know, the Pedro Costa film, Vonda's Room, which I think Pedro Costa must be really, really aware of this film. And I see that so much as the character of Vonda as being similar to Mona here, except I think what's very different is that here in Vagabond is Mona keeps moving, and because it's like she feels like if she doesn't keep moving, she's going to die, basically. And in Vonda's Room, she just really stays in one place. And because of that, there's just no hope. But I feel like even though it's like it begins and ends with a death, there's something a little more hopeful for me in Vagabond than I ever saw in a film like Vonda's Room. Hmm. They're two really different films and I like them both, but it's just something, you know, I'm commenting on. I don't know. I mean, do you feel like this is a very pessimistic movie, Aaron? Or do you feel like, I mean, what do you feel about?
I mean, no. I mean, for a movie that starts out with our main character dying in the first scene, I don't think it's actually, you know, downbeat, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, it really avoids, very intelligently avoids both romanticizing and ever being super downbeat or pessimistic. It really just kind of stays. I mean, maybe it...
Well, it also, I mean, it doesn't, like, pathologize her. Like, she's just, like... I think we kind of start out thinking, like, oh, like, maybe she escaped a bad situation. Maybe she's, like, poor and doesn't have, like, you know, the agency in society to, like, get a different kind of life. But then we learn, like, well, no, she went to college. She's from a middle-class family. Like, she just needed to drop out of life for a while. And it's not, like... she's rebelling against anything. She just, like, would rather be doing this. And I know I'm kind of making it sound like there's an ideology behind it, but really it's not. Like, it's about her as a person. And that's, I mean, we can kind of see in flashbacks and in these interviews how, like, sometimes, like, people's perceptions of her were dead on, and sometimes it's just people that are like, oh, like, you know, that girl's death really makes me think about, like, what I'm doing with my own life.
I mean, I think that's very true here, that it's not about a type of person at all. It's about, you know, this one person and what she's doing.
And I think, I mean, this woman playing her, she was, like, actually 17 at the time. Like, she's just incredible. Like, there's such, she almost has, she doesn't have, like, no dialogue, but she does not talk a lot in this movie. And she still is so incredibly intense and, like, just, like, you know, there are images from this film just burned into my memory of her just, like, staring off. And, like, also we should state, like, this area, like, it sounds like it's so romantic, like, oh, traveling along the French countryside. I mean, it's like the wine country, but in off season. Like, it just looks like a tundra. It's incredible, like, how ugly the coast of France has ever looked in a movie. This is completely unlike anything I've ever seen before. This is a fabulous film.
Yeah, I don't know if she was 17, though. I think she was in her 20s when she was in this film.
Really?
I think so. She was born in 1967, so in 85, that would make her 17. Apparently, Show Me Your Titles is not Show Me Your Mathematics.
Apparently, between the two of us, we do not have a calculator. I feel like in the extras, they talk about how she's really quite young, the actress.
No, I mean, I believe that. I believe it, except I agree with you. It just doesn't. It doesn't show to me that she's 17 here. And I've seen her in several other things, and I feel like she looks that age that doesn't move on or move back.
And this woman grew up, and she now she's a director, actually. She made a documentary about her sister who has severe autism.
Oh, yeah, I've read about that, Erin. Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, but it's on Netflix's Watch Now, so I will be sooner or later. Like, it just came out last year. I'm really excited about it. That's all.
Okay, you were right. She was 17.
Oh my god, were you just mad Googling?
No, I got a calculator. yeah, what I think is really great about this film, did I already say this, is that I pretty much think that the 80s is like the worst decade for cinema ever, and this film somehow escapes everything I hate about films from the 80s.
You know, it's funny because this film really reminds me of another film from the 80s that I also love called Smithereens.
Oh, yeah.
That would be two fun movies to watch next to each other because those are two very similar characters. Although the lady in Smithereens a little less likable, I think, than Mona.
It's true. Yeah, I have to say I am quite a fan of the female traveling movie. Give me a female traveling movie any day and I'll
enjoy it. And yet you've never seen Thelma and Louise.
You know, I haven't. I don't know. I put it off. I don't know. I think it's going to be an intense experience for me.
All right.
Maybe one I can't handle. But I won't come back from seeing that movie. But yeah, so I have to say, in a way, I see a lot in common. You know I'm going to say this.
Uh-oh.
You can predict what I'm going to say.
I don't.
I think this film definitely inspired a film that I talk about a lot, which would be...
Point Break.
Morvern Kallor.
Oh.
I mean, I think that, you know, the film by Lynn Ramsey. I mean, I think there's definitely, I think there's definitely an influence. And I think it's an interesting thing, this kind of female drifter, female traveler, female road trip kind of movie. And, but I also think that it's equally about, you know, this female traveler as it is about this kind of absence of a woman, this, like, female death. Like, I think it's very much about that as well. I feel like, I just feel like, it's not just about traveling for me. It's kind of almost also about, like, the representation of a woman after, you know, she's died and natural death, although, I mean, I guess this was a natural death, but
It didn't need to be, though.
It didn't need to be.
Well, so, it also reminded me of a far less heady film called The Dead Girl, which is told in vignette storytelling about You find this woman has died in the first vignette, and then we see the impact that it has over all these people's lives. And that film came out like maybe 2 years ago, which I also highly recommend. I really enjoyed The Dead Girl. Even though I think it's a really unfortunate title. I feel like I can't convince anyone to go see that movie just based on the title.
It's true. They really screwed themselves up with the title. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That makes sense to me. But I mean, because, yeah, it's really... they seem like two very similar films based on what I've read about The Dead Girl. But, yeah, I mean, I also think this film is pretty darn feminist. Like, it makes sense to me why a lot of feminists I know are drawn to this film. And, I mean, we have this woman who is, you know, really believes that she'll die if she stays in one place. And even if the place she's offered is like far from like a bourgeoisie lifestyle, she still feels like she has to keep moving. And I think it's a really interesting film, really interesting character.
Well, and the portrayal. Reason she feels that way is because even when she's in these situations, like, you know, at one point she's kind of like squatting with her lover at this place that seems like a castle, like it's this huge big house, or like in another place, like a farmer, like, really takes a shining to her and like lets her like live in a trailer that's kind of like at the edge of his property. But like in both cases, they both kind of put, you know, rules and limits on her, even though, I mean, it's pretty relatively speaking, but like, you know, and in both cases, she's just like, no, I don't want to do that. And instead of like even arguing with them, like she just takes off. It's very, she's a vagabond. What can I say? She's fabulous.
Yeah. It's, yeah, and I mean, it, I feel like there's a lot in common between this film and a film that I think a lot of people enjoy by Agnes Varda, which would be her later documentary, The Gleaners and I.
How so?
I mean, you don't feel like, in a way, you know, I mean, this has a lot to do with gleaning off of the land. I feel like that's what this character is constantly doing. That's the only way she lives, I feel like.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, we're just getting back to that thing that, like, there's definitely, like, an ideology to the Gleaners that she's depicting in The Gleaners and I, and I feel like this woman is just, like, she doesn't know what she wants, but she's totally, like, internalizing that. Like, it's not, it's not a preachy type of situation.
No, I think they're two films that really... I do think they have stuff in common. I mean, it is an actual documentary and really, yeah, I mean, is about people that share a specific ideology about how they should live and live off the earth. But
and then it also causes, like, Agnes Varda to kind of reflect upon how she feels about aging. Like, it's just a really fascinating documentary.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think that, I mean, I think to me it seems obvious that these two films are by the same filmmaker at, like, and they're both kind of at, you know, I mean, they're both made, I feel like, in the second half of the filmmaker's career. It seems to make sense to me.
It's so funny, the Four box set, the Agnes Varda box set called Four, which is another title I don't really find myself very fond of, but, I mean, it's La Pointe Court, Cleo 5-7, and Les Bonheurs, which, I mean, those films are, they're lush, and they're romantic, and there's a, you know, a big swelling score, and I mean, they're just as, like, insightful and as innovative as anything else Agnes Varda has done, but they're just so, like, tonally, they're so different than Vagabond, that Vagabond even feels like the Vagabond in the Four box set. Like, it's really incredible. I was really, when I got it, like, I just kind of heard the broad strokes about it, and I was, like, sure that The Gleaners and I were going to be part of the box set, and so I was just like, what? Like, it's the black duck. Is that the same? Black duck? Black sheep of the box set.
I like black duck. It's pretty good, Aaron.
Black duck is kind of good.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely, Vagabond is so different from her earlier work. I mean, if I think about, you know, just the two characters, how completely different, you know, off the spectrum each one is from, like, you know, Cleo from 5-7 and Mona in this film. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, both are very, like, intelligent and well-crafted characters. We don't want to make it sound like Agnes Varda, like, renounced something she was doing in filmmaking. I think she just grew. I mean, this was like 30 years later. It's not like outrageous that she would be making very different films.
No, I mean, I think they're both great characters, but they're so different.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I mean, and then, you know, the filmmaker, I'm glad that it's really great to see a filmmaker who has gotten seemingly either stronger or has just stayed at such a great, interesting pace, in the second half of their filmmaking career. Cause I feel like we've seen a lot of her French male counterparts not, you know, be as strong as I feel like she is right now.
Kind of coast, a little bit of coasting. It's true.
I know you didn't. And, I don't like mockumentaries. I don't like, you know, I don't like things that are supposed to be these funny fake documentaries, but I really loved this faux serious documentary mixed with reenactments. I mean, I feel like it also must have influenced Todd Haynes' Poison as well.
Yeah.
Which has a strong element of that. And, I love that, you know, the filmmaker here becomes such a part of the film. And I mean, she's the one making this faux documentary and, you know, she's playing the filmmaker here. I mean, I think it's a really great thing to, you know, to make the audience so aware that there's a woman making this film.
Is she narrating? I thought that the actress was narrating.
It's one of the
women that she encounters are narrating.
But it's like, it becomes like the voice of, you know, this film.
Yeah, you're right.
That we're watching. So, I mean, I guess I feel like the voice of God. The voice of God of Vagabond is female, so.
You know, I feel like we're encountering the same problem I had writing my review of this film, and that was, like, I could not get to my word count because I was just like, this is a really spectacular film, and, like, I can lay out, like, how it's done and why it's good, but it doesn't take a lot of words. Like, this is just, like, an incredible idea and just beautifully put together. I think you're probably right. Probably inspired a lot of, like, lesser works, but I think still absolutely worth checking out. And also inspired films that are just as good, I would say, too. That was a tortured sentence.
Yeah, no. And we didn't even, I don't even think we ever said the name of the actress, which is Sandrine Bonnaire.
There you go.
Which I probably mispronounced, but I really like her in a Claude Chabrol film called La Cérémonie, where I feel like, in a way, she's of her character cleaned up and became a housekeeper for a bourgeoisie family.
Oh my God.
And then met a very bad influence. Played by Isabelle Huppert.
Those are two films to watch together. There you go. Vagabond and La Cérémonie.
So, I mean, I watched a DVD of Vagabond, but you can also get it on this amazing box set that I would probably rather do if I was you listening.
Okay. Well, if you have any feedback for the Summer Spotlight series or for Vagabond, please get in touch with us at showmeyourtitles@gmail.com.
You can become our MySpace friend at myspace.com/showmeyourtitles.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.